Welcome to the 1-2 podcast, bringing you everything PSL, brought to you by Football Conversations.
How's it, FC family? Welcome to another episode of the 1-2 podcast, brought to you by Football Conversations. As I said, this is a 1-2 podcast where we discuss everything PSL. Keza, Khosi, how you guys doing?
Hey, this is good.
Hey, sharp.
Yeah, I'm a Sundowns fan, so I'm fine. All right.
You've said enough.
Yeah, I don't think you'll find a Sundowns fan that's not having a good.
Yeah, you've said enough.
All right, guys, yo, let's just jump straight into it. For the first fixture, says I'm gonna start with you. Black Leopards getting a draw against Stellenbosch. How did you?
It was quite an interesting one, I must say. You know, Black Leopards haven't had a good run in the DStv Premiership. We know they've been having a little bit of struggles in terms of their play and their intellectual sequence, but in all aspects, let's be honest, you know, Barca has been doing an incredible job with Stellenbosch. They've also been picking up points on and off the road. They've been making sure that they are solid in terms of their defensive ability. They've been quite smart in their attack as well. You know, I'm quite impressed with their structure and their pattern and their philosophy and style of play in terms of going forward and being effective, especially when they get inside the opposition's half, whereby they move the ball much more quicker using the width of the pitch to their advantage and crossing the ball in and in between that last line of defense. But it's a manager that has been, in fact, it's a coach that has been able to then install the right type of mindset into his players. But a 1-0 draw, taking a point home, is something which, you know, will kind of put life in another different way to Black Leopards, because now they're going to be facing I don't know how to say it, but I feel that after their game against Roca Suelos, they really, really came to TTM, who we know they've been struggling, and we know, of course, there have been a lot of cases in that club which haven't been, you know, really menacing to the eye as well. But Black Leopards will face Orlando Pirates, and that on its own is another, you know, dilemma. But a 1-0 draw, a point, but they need to win their next fixture. But it's not going to be simple against Pirates, is Black Leopards, because that 3 points will give them a little bit of an edge moving up the table, because they are sitting right at the bottom, which then the Maritzburg has put some pressure after beating Kaizer Chiefs as well. So for me, I think it's for Stellenbosch, it's a good one for them to get a point. And then, but for Black Leopards, it's still going to be a little bit difficult for them going and moving forward. And you can tell by their technical staff, the coach, the assistant, it's not being easy as well under these circumstances. Chima is not really having one of his best seasons as well, giving the ball away cheaply at times. You know, Tuso Pala is not rocking up for training sessions. So that tells you that in the camp, there's a lot of things that are happening.
Right, in Tuso's defense, I think Tuso's no longer playing. I think he's retired, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he wanted to play one more season, but because of he's saying that the players are not really coming into the party, he feels that they might be relegated. So he wanted to finish off on a bang. And I think, I feel that on other aspects, I feel that if he can go there, just give them that little bit of an edge. You know, him being there, his presence will really give the players a little bit of a different attitude, a different mindset as well.
Oh man, I think this guy, his contract was terminated. If I'm not mistaken.
No, they terminated. Garabo Stitch's one.
If I'm not mistaken, I don't think Tuso's still contracted to Black Leopards anymore.
Well, I think we stand to be corrected.
I stand to be corrected, but I don't think he's still there. All right, Khosi, moving on.
Sure.
Sundowns getting a vital 3 points against Baraka. How's that for you?
Yeah, easy victory for the league leaders right now. Themba Zwane obviously came back into the starting lineup after missing the previous game against Orlando Pirates, and he came back obviously with a goal, as he often does nowadays. But it was for Baroka, it was a humbling day for them because they were nowhere near close. This Sundowns side, Rivaldo Kotze, he just bossed things in the midfield. He gave Sundowns that platform for their attackers to be able to do their magic, and obviously Lyla K scored that brilliant free kick, which is becoming a staple of his game right now. So yeah, it was an easy victory, 2 goals, one goal for Lyla K and another goal for Themba Zwane, 3 points, and they are top of the league. I don't think I need to say any more, especially on Baroka's side. Baroka went in the races in this game. It was a very easy for the league leaders.
Cesar, I don't know, man. Is it just me, or does Mamelodi Sundowns just seem far more defensively resolute?
I think under
coach.
Yeah, I feel that he's really, really made things simple for them. With, of course, there are two wing backs, Lake and Morena, having to then play a significant role in terms of going and being adventurous upfield, and then just slotting back. I'm quite impressed by Mvala. He's been able to then gel with Kudzia, and it was a little bit of a different one when you get to look at it, because this 4-3-3 formation allowed Mamelodi Sundowns to then rotate. At some point, you'd find Themba Zwane popping up from that left-hand side or that right-hand side. Of course, Shalulile up front, he was the target man, the talisman. But when they're defending, one thing that was quite impressive about Mamelodi Sundowns, when we're talking about the defensive side of things, when you are pinpointing that out, Disezo, is that now Rivaldo then just tucks in and then allows, of course, Brian Onyango to then just slightly, because Morena and Lakey are wingbacks, just slightly on the right, and then Nascimento goes on to that left-hand side. So it becomes a little bit of a congested midfield. So that allows Mbala and Mabowe to tuck in as well, so that their defensive third is well-structured.
Okay. All right, staying with you, Cesar. I mean, SuperSport getting the 3 points. 3-0 goals by Kabuza and Brady Swabler against TS Galaxy, who are now coached by Owen De Gama.
It was an impressive performance, of course, from Kaitando's men. And you could tell that they were power hungry in this instance. You know, Hobla getting on the score sheet and making sure that he makes his tally grow as well. But Mukwena and Sipho Mbule, great combination. You know, Mahashi in an unfamiliar territory as well, being slotted into that midfield. He just played behind Kabuza, who then also rotated. But if you could get to see it at times, that it made Sipho Mbule and Mukwena to just tuck in when they are attacking. And then Kabuza and Hobla will then play a little bit of a 4-4-2 formation. Then Lungu and Mahashi then would form that barrier so that they can have that width of the pitch. Mahashi could then deliver the cross in between that last line of defense. But I think that either than that, TS Galaxy with Dendens Malisela, now gone back to his, I don't know if it's his father or what should I say, in Chipambeng, you see? I don't know. I don't know, because he loves going back there. If you could check, I don't know how many times he's been fired, but he's going back there. But it's about feeding the family, you know?
Kaza, do you have any secret files you want to share with us, maybe? His father, Ganja.
I don't know, but anyway, I think that Owen Takama is going to find a little bit of difficulties, because now he has to change the style of play has to then resuscitate them, because you can tell with that 4-2-3-1 formation, it wasn't really working for them. Bevan Fransman, at some point, he was late in his tackles, his anticipation, his awareness. At times, he was caught napping, ball watching. And you could tell that Mukwena and Sipho Mbule, they are like Nkanyi Sozumu from Orlando Pirates. They are good passers of the ball, who can then play a very intellectual defensive splitting pass in and in between that last line. Eddie Brooks was late also in terms of tucking in Nyama and Wambi in the middle of the park. They were nowhere.
All right. So let's move on to the next picture with Golden Arrows getting a 1-0 win over our beloved Chippa United. that's a loss for Dan Malisela. Should he be worried for his job?
In any normal job, I'll say it's too early to tell. But this is nothing normal. There's nothing normal about Chippa United. Because we all know the story there. Like, that guy doesn't have any patience in terms of his coaches. But looking at it from a Golden Arrows perspective, Golden Arrows, hey, these guys are serious. They're a serious team when I look at it, because they are one of three teams that haven't been beaten thus far in the league, the other two being Morocco Swallows and obviously Mamelodi Sundowns. And the two teams that I mentioned right now, they are top three in the league. So if we need to be really serious or take a hard look at Golden Arrows, because they are not playing around. These guys are picking up points. They are playing some good football. It's a pity that they didn't really win by more goals in this game, because Chippa United, even though Dent is back and we know what type of football he brings to on board, there weren't really any competition for Golden Arrows. So Golden Arrows, I'm very impressed by their start to their season. It's very solid. They are number six right now on the league. So yeah, I think for them, if they can keep this up, they are a good team to find themselves in the top, easily find themselves in the top eight for next season.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right, Leza. TTM 2, Cape Town City 2.
I'll be quite honest. You know, I don't think Cape Town City will be happy with what had really conspired on that day. You know, I think also TTM, they too themselves, they know they could have, you know, got something out of it. Maybe probably that 3 points would have played a significant role. But one thing that I think TTM did well here in this instance is not allow Cape Town City to take the whole 3 points, you know. But they've got the veteran at the back there, Arubi, the captain, who is a very prolific instructor. Mapangule is having a decent run, but I think at some point he's falling short, you know. But they need to pick up points. Is TTM, they know the importance of picking up points. With the way they've been going, and you know, a lot of things have been happening inside their camp. Look at, they had great signings at some point. You know, Opa Manyisa, he's. I don't think they were able to reach an agreement with him. But Mlongwane, having wanted to play, he said to himself, you know what, okay, give me that package. I can then try and work the team to get somewhere. You know, but all in all, Mkholodi Ngele was a great asset for them, because he when he is playing and when he's around the team does tick, the team gets into the mood. He makes the team to also buzz and play. He's like we can't classify him as your Kevin De Bruyne, but he's a good passer. He's got an educated left foot, you see now. But all in all, I think a draw for TTM there was quite important for them, because Cape Town City are a very incredible team. When you look at, of course, the coach having just chopped and changed some of the players is there. Dansane not being available, and no data as well. But this time he went with Mashego and Roberts, and surprise, really not starting with Martins this time around. In fact, Dansane was there. Pardon me about that one. I'm saying that no data wasn't part of the team. So for me, it was a question of, is he going to still play with the same pattern, or is he going to change it? Because he's going to be facing a very kind of motivated Kaizer Chiefs.
This is, I think we've just, he just disconnected for a bit, but I think he should be back. I think we can move on to
staying on TTM for a bit. I mean, they've just lost Justin Shonga to Cape Town City. How's this going to impact them?
Look, in the previous podcast, I did mention that January is going to be a very tricky month for TTM, especially knowing the issues that they are always plagued with, whether it be them not paying their players or not paying them on time, or even just paying them but half of their salaries. We all know those stories. So basically, when you have those stories, it basically makes it a bit difficult to keep hold of your best players. So right now, Justin Shonga, as you mentioned, he has signed with Cape Town City. So I wouldn't be surprised if the likes of also Ngele are allowed to leave for other teams. And the way this team is being run at the moment, I think we are going to see a massive clear out this transfer window, which will be a very strange thing to see in the middle of the season. So, but with the way things are being run at the moment, Justin Shonga might be the first, but he certainly won't be the last player to leave that club come the end of this transfer window.
All right. What do you think, Cesar, with Justin Shonga? What are your views on Justin Shonga moving to Cape Town?
I think it's a good move for him. I think he will enjoy his football there. I think if he gets to gel with your Mdantanes, your No Dadas, your Roberts, he'll be able to then become that prolific striker that we would see week in, week out for Orlando Pirates, because under, of course, former Orlando Pirates coach Eric Tindler, it was quite fantastic to really see him playing, you know, that great football in all aspects, because he would bang in goals. You know, he would be able to then combine with his counter partner in Molenga, who is also going to really cause a lot of problems for a lot of people at AmaZulu, because you can tell that with the vision that Ola Mlambo has, I think it was quite fantastic to also see how Memela has slotted in there, because he's been very influential in terms of AmaZulu going forward. So, but I don't know. Maybe, Khosi, do you think that they are starting to take their foot off the pedal there?
AmaZulu. Look. Now, AmaZulu, look, man. Right now, in terms of AmaZulu, I wouldn't call it a rebuilding process, but it's more of acclimatization process, whereby the coach needs to understand his players. We must remember it wasn't long ago that Benny McCarthy was appointed, so he's barely like three games in. So it will take a while for his ideologies and philosophies to come through onto the players. But in terms of the players that they have, we've always spoke about the quality that they have. Memela, the likes of Memela, Kolam Lambo, you can see them. There's quality in spades there. So it's just a question of when that team clicks with their coach, because Benny McCarthy, we know, is known for playing some daring football. It won't be like formulaic or boring football. He'll always be one of those coaches that wants his team to be playing from the front foot. So it's just a case of his ideologies and philosophies getting through to the players that he has right now. And yeah, it's going to be a process, but I'm pretty sure if they stick with him long enough, they will reap the rewards come in a few weeks' time. But it's a process, and we must remember these are challenging times. It's not easy I think it's not easy to coach players right now with the way things are right now. So it's going to take a while, but I'm pretty sure that Benny McCarthy will be able to showcase his talents as a coach, and the team will be.
We'll hold you up to it, because now you said they're going to have a top five finish.
Okay, so this is why you were trying to drag it. No, it's fine, Keza. You must remember, Keza, we still have 20 plus games.
We understand that.
So there's enough time for such things to happen, for a top five bet to be there. Oh. I still have faith. Don't
okay,
worry,
with Keza. Morocco Swallows, okay, I see the benefits, but Amazulu. I think
I absolutely like abandoned like the structure of the podcast by like speaking about your own team, and no one has even
okay. No, like, no one asked it's fine.
Guys about Morocco Swallows, like nobody, like absolutely nobody. But in case anyone was wondering, the score between Celtic and Amazulu was 1-1. Anyway. Carrying on with a structured podcast.
Yeah.
Can you discuss Kaiser Chiefs losing at home to Maritzburg? 2-0.
Yeah. No worries. I'll stick to the story here.
No, it's just that. Nev,
no.
I wanted, because now AmaZulu have a new coach. They have a new structure. I wanted to know and see if they will finish on this top five spot, like Hosi said. That's something that I would have wanted to see, you know?
Okay, I guess we'll talk about that, but let me go back to the actual topic right now. Let's stay the course. So, Kaizer Chiefs obviously losing against Maritzburg, and guess who scored the two goals? As usual, the man himself, Judas, the backstabber. Chiefs. Look, Evan, this game, it's you know, post match when we are talking with the coach, Coach Kevin Hunt, yeah, you could see that guy was drained of energy, like. Because Chiefs didn't necessarily play bad. In fact, most people would say they played actually good. But the problem is the other team scored two goals and they couldn't really do anything after that point. And Judas, as we alluded, he's always been a force against Kaizer Chiefs. I think, I'm not sure how many goals he has scored so far against Kaizer Chiefs, but I remember one of the reporters said that it's a third. Yeah, I think half of his goals have came from playing against Kaizer Chiefs and SuperSport, which is very strange. And it was one of the questions that I asked Coach Kevin Hunt to see, to ask him what were some of the plans that he had to maybe try to neutralize Judas from scoring those two goals. But basically he said that they did all they could, but you can't legislate for the type of mistakes that they made in that game that gifted Maritzburg those two goals. And from the other side, Maritzburg and Middendorp was busy talking about, because I even asked him another question in regards, in the same regards with Judas, to ask him why does he always seem to be scoring against these teams and not progressing against the other teams. And he gave me a strange answer, saying that he doesn't play often, or he plays one game, next game he doesn't play, which I thought was strange, because Judas Musia made it usually the first name on the team sheet. So I'm not sure if he was watching a different Judas or whatnot, but for me, it was a strange question. So, but it was a good 3 points for them. Obviously, Ernst Middendorp has history with Kaizer Chiefs, and it would have tasted sweet for him. He wouldn't admit it, obviously, because he's a professional, and you don't admit that you are happy that you beat your former club. But deep down, we are pretty sure that this was one game that he didn't want to lose. So, yeah, 3 points against Kaizer Chiefs. It's do we even celebrate 3 points against Kaizer Chiefs at this point, to be honest? But let me just leave it like that before I start insulting other people further. So those are my again.
All right, so now, you know, at the beginning of the season, I mean, I'm always going to mention this because I can't believe it became true. But at the beginning of the season, Jose spoke about Morocco's finishing high in the table, and we laughed at him. We laughed. But it seems like Morocco is not going away.
No, not necessarily laughing at him, but I think that we weren't pretty sure. But it looks like Morocco Swallows have taken that momentum from the Glad African Championship, and they've brought it into...
You know, since I can replay that clip, you know, that I'm just saying.
You know, because in all aspects, we thought that it was going to be a little bit difficult. You know, because of the way the intensity and the tempo of DStv Premiership is. We know, of course, at some point, it's not that. I always say that the DStv Premiership is different. The PSL, the top light, is different from the Glad African Championship, whereby it's man marking. You know, there's a little bit of zonal marking. In the Glad African Championship, we want to keep the ball. We want to, you know, carry the ball through into the box. Whereas by in the top light, you've got, you know, it's sort of like mind games, whereby you kind of are patient with the team. You patiently build up, you patiently build play, you patiently, you know, await to catch them on a counter attack, you know, because most of the counter attacks on Glad African Championships don't really come out that pretty well. But in the DStv Premiership, you could tell that most of the teams that go for the counter or play Route 1 formation, normally the ball plays and goes behind back of the net, you know, from a throw-in. Kaizer Chiefs conceded. You know, it was sort of like a Route 1 formation, whereby Mphahlela, you know, was caught in two minds whether should he then, you know, try and head that ball out for a corner kick or a throw-in. But in that instance, Siamedi being smart and just playing around him and playing right off his shoulders and just making sure that he plays with a two-touch and puts it behind back of the net. But for me, I think that Morocco Swallows is a decent one for them. It's a good form. The momentum is there. You can tell that the spirit is quite high. Trotter, he has done an incredible job with TBAD. Teatua has been gaining confidence. You can tell that Mahlatsi has also been an incredible individual, you know. Coming from the under 17 national team, coming into the under 21 setup, going into the World Cup with your Lyle Fosters. So it tells you that he's been an incredible under Thabo Sinong, is coaching as well. So that tells you a different perspective view when you have players like that having to come in to a game of that stature and producing a brilliant and promising move and finding themselves in a very critical and crucial area. And that wasn't really good from the captain of the national team, who Tyson Tlhatshwayo, who are marking from him as well.
Oh, your opinion, Khosi?
Can I talk about Morocco Swallows and pat myself on the back again?
I
deserve all the praise for seeing this side being where they are right now. It's incredible foresight from my end. But enough.
No, he's never going to do that. He will do that. I think even if there's another team that he will say, he will do it.
But look, one thing that I can maybe just say. Morocco Swallows were very lucky in this game, and in the league, in football, you do need to have some form of luck, because Orlando Pirates should have had a penalty for me. I forgot who was.
I think it's Maka.
There was a point there was a point where
who was hacked at the back. Checho was the one that made the challenge.
Yeah. So I don't know how the referee missed that. In fact, he called it as a penalty first, and then he went to his assistant referee to confirm.
Poor positioning, I don't know how that from works. The referee, Jose. Poor positioning. His positioning wasn't very good.
But the thing is, the way it happened, it felt like this guy, he thought maybe he's in the EPL and there's a VAR what's his monitor, and then he's going to check. And the only guy that he could check with was his assistant referee. So I don't know how he missed that clear and obvious penalty, because for me, the first moment I saw that tackle, I knew that was a penalty. They live to fight another day. A point against one of the top sides in the league. It's nothing to play around with. It was a good point for them, and especially getting that goal at the last minute or last minute there. So yeah, I'll continue patting myself on the back for the job well done of foreseeing Morocco Swallows being this top side that they are right now.
Okay. All right. Okay. Just closing off the podcast. Your moment of the week in South African football.
There's just, I think everybody is happy about it. You know, I think I'd rather shy away from it, because I'd say that Mamelodi Sundowns and Kaizer Chiefs are qualifying for the next round.
Okay, and what about you, Jose?
Let me take it local, but sort of international. Percy Tau finally making his debut for Brighton Hove and Albion against the mighty Manchester City in England. So it was a proud moment for all South Africans. I think as South Africans, now we have adopted Brighton Hove as one of our own. We look forward to seeing them climb the league table, and hopefully one day he will play in South Africa with this Brighton Hove.
They were wearing Mamelodi Sundowns colours as well, you know.
Exactly, man. Yeah. It was poetry. It was poetry. Like, you know, Mamelodi Sundowns, man. That team is a great team. When last did you hear a Pirates player playing in England or one of these top sides? Sundowns is a big team, guys. Let's not play around here. Sundowns is a serious team. We export talent. Talent is playing in England right now. some of the teams, you'll hear maybe, hey, let me not talk too much, but yeah, Sundowns, man, we need to also just salute them for allowing the young men to be able to play at such a platform. It's not every day nowadays that we see a South African-born player playing in one of the top leagues. In fact, the top league in the world.
All right, Khosi, staying with you. Big up the socials, man.
Yeah. It's simple. Instagram, it's just K Mudisa SE or Khosi Zile. You can search me on either Mudisa SE. And on what's this, Facebook, even though I don't use it that much, it's Khosi Zile Mudisa SE. Twitter, KBM Star. And yeah,
that's on Facebook, simply Hleza Mathebula. On Instagram, Dinyiko Hleza.
All right. On Twitter, I'm at underscore DCTM. On Instagram, I'm Gang. For football conversations, our socials are at football converse on Twitter, football_conversations on Instagram, football conversations on Facebook, and our website is www.footballconversations.co.za. Till the next time. Cheers.
Cheers.
Shop, shop.
That's it from the 1-2 podcast. For more episodes, follow Football Conversations on Facebook, at Football Converse on Twitter, and www.footballconvos.co.za. The 1-2 podcast, brought to you by Football Conversations.